Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast, live and uncatfished. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers as we react to a 40-34 loss in overtime to the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm joined by my good buddy, Adam Emmert.
Man, wild game. A lot of different things we can go over as far as the reasons for this really stupid loss. This is stupid. I'm actually upset over this one.
Yeah.
But I think if you really get down to it, I think it's probably going to be universally agreed that the reason for this loss is Drew Lock's mustache. That thing is disgusting. That should never have seen the light of day. I don't know when that appeared on his face. It probably could have taken more than a day to grow.
It was there last week. It was making its appearance last week. It has to go. It's the reason. Well, then I say last week, I think we saw it make an appearance in Germany. And so we're on a two-game losing streak after the Drew Lock mustache. This has to be the reason. Randy Horner checking in says, sorry, but I can't possibly watch or talk about this game. I can't believe what I saw. I think we're going to have a few folks. Yeah.
Yeah, Randy, we'll keep it real short for you. Our run defense is god awful. They can't run the ball. They can't stop running the football. And they make some bad coaching decisions along the way. And they got a little bit of bad ref luck. So there you go.
Yeah. You want to start off with the ref luck?
It's literally the thing that I think affected this game the least. But yeah,
it was an impact. I don't know if it was the cause, because a lot of people, I think, want to believe that if that fumble goes the Seahawks way, that Seattle is able to close it out and get the win. But I think we have to go back because if you're in that mind space that if, say that is called as it should, and that Adam, what are you doing? You can't light up a victory cigar in a loss.
Dude, I can smoke away my sorrows if I want. I can do that.
All right. Yep. Well, we can.
This is not a victory cigar, clearly.
Well, clearly, yeah. Executive producer Ryan coming in with the $9.99 super chat. Thank you, Ryan. That'll help sweep our sorrows away in this loss. Jason Turner, blame Eskridge. Sure. Why not? He broke his hand. Right. He wasn't able to play. But I want to go back to that moment where Jacobs fumbled the football. The referees ruled it that the play had been forward progress had been stopped, which unfortunately, when the refs make a ruling like that, it means it cannot be reviewed. Yep. The play's over. We just said so, that the play's over. So no more reviewing of what couldn't have been a fumble. Now, there are people on the TV broadcast saying that his shin was down. The one
wrong.
Wrong. The replay that I saw.
Wrong. Gene Salvatore. That was dead freaking wrong. You don't have eyeballs. And I can't believe you were ever employed as an official in this league. It's just factually wrong. Just wrong.
So that part of it, forward progress, I mean, that's a judgment call that you can say. But in that moment, say they get the football there, that it goes the Seahawks way. Based on what we saw from the offense in the final minutes of the game, what we saw in overtime, do we think that they were going to get a first down or two? And because the Raiders had a couple timeouts still, they would have had to move the ball to at least get a first down. I think the Raiders probably even get the ball back if we see the way that the offense went. I mean, we can put a little bit of blame on Geno. Like, all of his throws were short toward the end of the game. Obviously, the DK Metcalf catch where he rolled out of bounds and apparently lost control. They reviewed that an awful long time for that to be considered clear and obvious evidence of it needing to be overturned. But there we go. That was the other part. You know what? We got some ref luck too in the final minutes, because on the one play toward the end where I think they ended up having to either the Raiders had to punt it away or settle for a field goal in one of the moments. It was Shelby Harris coming through the line. He got his hands up in the face of the offensive lineman. It didn't get called. So there was some, maybe that was a makeup call. I don't know that they didn't call that, but yeah.
Yeah. The non-reviewable forward progress thing drives me crazy. You're not going to end up with more reviews in a game. You only have so many reviews.
Yeah.
Like each coach only has two. Like that's it. No, I guess maybe in a 2-minute situation when they're calling it from the booth or whatever. But I mean, a big play is a big play. And I've always hated that rule. The non-reviewable after forward progress has been blown. Conversely, the DK Metcalf review, which apparently got more scrutiny than the fucking Zapruder film back in the day, because they went over that with the finest of tooth combs.
Yeah.
I've seen them go over replays that were less obvious, way quicker, and miss all sorts of stuff and then just moving on. But no, they really looked through that one. That was annoying as hell.
It is.
They got it right. You got to say that it was the correct call at the end of the day, because it was.
I don't know. But
it just, the way they got to it, it you kind of feel like it should have never happened that way. But the ball was coming loose.
Jeremy coming in with the $199 super chat. And really, this is the reason for the loss. The Seahawks got crushed in the trenches on both sides of the football. The interior of the offensive line, well, and then toward the end of the game. At the end of the game, how do you not go, oh, hey, Max Crosby's their best player on defense. Abe Lucas is getting kind of tired. He seems to be getting blown up by Max Crosby on third down every single time. I don't know. Maybe run one of your boot plays that Crosby was having trouble with the entire game. Run one of those plays and try and get a first down. Move the pocket or give Lucas a little bit of help at the end. But no, they just drop back into the pocket and allow Max Crosby to bull rush Lucas right back into Geno multiple times at the end of the game.
Put a tight end on that side to chip. Do something. Keep a running back in for extra protection to that side. Slide the line protection that way. Throw a screen right at Crosby, who's on the big money downs, he wasn't screwing around. He was coming dead for the quarterback. You know how you take the starch out of that? You throw a screen right behind it, or throw a bubble over there. But no, they decide to throw bubbles in terrible times. Like there was a 3rd and 11 that they threw a freaking bubble. That was stupid. You know, and I think this was because of the Lucas Crosby matchup. They didn't go for it on 4th and 5 in overtime. I was livid off the couch yelling at the TV. I can go get Brittany right now to confirm this. Like a lot of people like to after the fact, these things, it was like, I don't, even if we don't get it, sure. We're going to lose because it leaves them a short field. But if we give them the ball back after punting it, we're going to lose. The defense can't stop anything.
Right.
And you might think, well, okay, but you know, they might run it on us, but we might be able to eventually stop them, that sort of thing. No, whether it was going to be jellied or one big play, the running game was going to tear us up and they were giving up a play there. And best case scenario is the defense kind of sort of slows them down, but there's 4 minutes left. So they play 4 minutes offense and then they just run the clock down. And you never get the ball back anyways. Yeah. There's no catfish upside to punting it right there with the defense playing the way that it's playing. And that's situational football. And that's as much as I love Pete, and we've taken a Pete victory lap this season, right? And it's been really rewarding. These are the bad Pete moments that drive you nuts and you got to live with them. But punting at 4th and 5 with 4 minutes and change to go in overtime, field goal wins it. Your defense can't stop anybody.
Right.
And you punt it away. You're at midfield. It's not the reason they lost.
Right.
Again, it was a big one.
Yeah. The coaching decisions, the defense, the offense, they're all different points. The refs, you can point to all of it. And when it's this close.
Not converting touchdowns on 2 interceptions from Carr.
Yeah. You had 2 takeaways in the first half by Quandre Diggs, and you went into halftime at a deficit. And let's see, Gordon Steph came in here with a chat saying, I knew when Woods got stiff armed to the ground that we were in trouble. That was one of the Jacobs runs. And Jacobs, I mean, went off 33 carries, 229 yards. I mean, to this point, Gordon Stuff, I knew that we were in trouble when they were showing replays of the history of Bo Jackson running over the Seahawks defense. Like as soon as I saw that it was the anniversary of the Bo Jackson game.
Yeah.
And we're playing the Raiders. Great.
Yeah. I wasn't upset after the loss to the Bucks for a myriad of factors, but this one really does piss me off. Like, this is not a good team. You know, 66% of their wins had come against the Broncos up to that point. They're a bad football team. There's no way you should lose to that team, but now the defense has, I'm not going to use the word regressed because that means that they were something that maybe they weren't totally, but the run defense has now come back to the mean. I think they're not as dumpster fire bad quite as they were at the beginning of the year, but it's still pretty bad. And they even started running on them when they were put in five man fronts too, towards the end. They were just like, well, we don't care.
Yeah. It didn't even matter at that point. They ran at the four man fronts and they ran at the five man fronts and the Seahawks weren't stopping it either way.
Yeah. You'll have to read the chats for me that we're going to talk about because I have to do it on my phone from StreamYard. It's tiny from a long ways away.
Well, Jeremy is just giving fantasy advice for the future. Play your fantasy running backs against the Seahawks.
Well, I mean, my fantasy advice for the future is that they give Geno a mid-level deal and they spend all the draft picks on people in the trenches. All of them.
Whether it's interior of the offense, I mean, Billings had a heck of a day against the interior of the Seahawks offensive line, whether it was Blythe, whether it was Lewis. They couldn't manage to figure out a way to double team him and take him out of the game. And meanwhile, the Raiders, their offensive line, all they had to do, they double teamed Al Woods and they took Puna. Puna had a couple good, he led to one of the three and outs, I think, early on in the first quarter. But then Puna was nowhere to be found until I think one of the plays toward the end. So yeah, they just double teamed Al Woods and ran right up the middle and they had no answer for it.
And then you weren't wrong about putting some blame on the offense here for not finishing the game. They had two good opportunities there and they just wasted them. You know, they won in overtime. They gift wrapped that for you.
After the Raiders miss the field goal, you're at midfield. All you got to do is get a couple first downs and you kick the field goal, walk off with the win.
Pick up 25 yards or so. You're within range. And you know, maybe Myers misses it. I don't know, but I would have loved to have seen the opportunity at least materialize. But they left a lot of points on the field throughout the game. They did not convert on the two picks. The second one, they had pretty darn good field position. They also had the fumble when him and Walker didn't read the mesh point right.
Right.
And we lose points there. And those are two big mistakes, huge mistakes.
Special teams, you had the punt where the punt returner too for the Raiders loses the ball and the defender that was there not able to get on the football in time.
I mean, it's hard to blame him. I mean, the oblong balls bounce funny ways. And I mean, he did his best. I'm not mad at the player. It's not like he screwed it up. But
no, it's just you had the opportunity there for that potential. And
yeah, it's a bummer. Yeah. And then you have Geno, who, especially early in the game, down in the red zone, was taking some really unnecessary risks with the football.
Yeah.
And should have had a couple picks down there. And then ironically throws one late in the game
toward the middle of the game.
Or was it towards the end of the game? I can't remember.
No, I think it was around the end of the first half where, they showed the replay and it was DK and Tyler crossing and Tyler runs into the linebacker who had dropped into the middle and then just kind of stops. He stopped. That was really the problem on those couple red zone throws too, where it looked like he was throwing to DK in the back of the end zone to give DK an opportunity to go up and get it. And DK didn't even take a chance at it. I think the next one was to Tyler or maybe it was to DK too, but it looked like they had kind of given up on the play and the Raiders were still playing on both those potential interceptions.
That was a wild sequence there leading up to the fumble. Cause I think it went that ridiculous catch by Goodwin.
Yeah.
Where he just gets blasted. Then they end up in second and 23 off of the Walker.
Right. Where Billings comes through the line and then throws Walker in a circle essentially. And Walker tries to run around the edge.
Yeah. I mean, he can't throw it away. So, I mean, I don't know what else he's supposed to do, but yeah, there was that. Then they pick up the second and 23. Then they get down there and then they fumble. It was just, It's like, gosh, dang it, man. Like, you guys have made some really amazing plays and then are getting in your own way a little bit. I mean, don't get it twisted. They didn't just beat themselves this game. The Raiders pounded it down their throat early and often. It could not be stopped. And when you play football that way, you will win football games. There's just no two ways about it. But the Seahawks also still had a chance despite all that and then shot themselves in the foot a few times.
There was one area where I think maybe we can give a little bit of credit to the defense. They had a plan for Davante Adams in this game. 7 catches, 74 yards. Well, it looked like they had the focus on him. And the Raiders were...
Do we have a different definition of focus? Is that where the disconnect is here? Is the focus... Because my definition of focus, you get a guy right up on his ass and you play him, and then you'd have a second guy right up on his ass and you play two guys right up on his ass the entire game. You don't give a 13-yard cushion down in, down out by your corner.
They played it both ways throughout the game. They had Mike Jackson up on him at moments.
Yeah, but half the game they played it freaking wrong.
And it was weird because the other half of the game, it was in these third and short opportunities for the Raiders where they played off 13 yards. And why do you play that far off when all the Raiders need is 4 yards for a first down and you know the ball's going Adams' way and you give them this huge cushion? It's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, just go ahead and give them. Yeah, I think Jeremy Green, especially on a 3rd and 2.
Yeah, I mean, and then when they weren't picking on super soft cushions, they just picked on Brooks, Barton, and Bryant.
Over the middle.
Non-killer bees all day.
But they obviously, the Raiders went into this knowing that they had to avoid Tariq Woolen. Every single time that Davante Adams was lined up across from Tariq Woolen, it was a run play to Jacobs or Zamir White for his couple of carries. Abdullah had a couple of carries. But yeah, every time. If Adams was lined up across from Woolen, they were running the football.
And Tariq wasn't spotless in this game. I mean, he did give up a bad run to that swept around the left-hand side of the edge. He was the edge man and just kind of got lost. He didn't set it. Frustrating day because even when they're not playing their A game, they very much still should have won this game.
No, the Seahawks absolutely should have won this game. I'm still in the mindset they should win these next two games with the Rams playing how they are. Now, see, the next couple of weeks, you don't have the type of running back that I think you have to be as concerned about. But I suppose you can make a bad running back still look good if you're playing the way that you are on defense.
Oh, well, hold on just a second. Who's this? Oh, Mr. Fournette. Oh, you're the bad running back they just made look good 2 weeks ago. Right. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. So watch out for Cam Akers, who might all of a sudden be a good against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Watch out for the tandem of Panthers running backs that they seem to throw at people.
They whooped up on the Broncos today. That was fun.
There you go. Light your victory cigar for for the draft pick there.
Yeah.
I listened and watched to that Broncos game a little bit. That was a disaster.
A little bit of the tail end. I caught it just when the Broncos had a bad series. Well, okay, that doesn't narrow it down. it was late in the game, and Russ is on the sidelines, and the defender comes off the field and just chews his ass out.
Like, yes, that was going around on Twitter, too.
I don't know that I've ever seen that happen to Russ in that way. I've seen Doug Baldwin get in his face to try to
defensive him up. Player. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I think the schism is fully formed in that locker room.
It could be, yeah. Chris Boucher, Trey Brown can't come back soon enough. I want to know how many. Now, was he active for this game or was he one of the inactives? Because I didn't get a look at the inactive list.
But I don't know.
I feel like they should have had him at least out there a little bit instead of Kobe. Because although
it's early, in his comeback, man. Like if it takes him an extra week, it takes him an extra week. Trey Brown will be back when he comes back. Like I'm not saying that they have to rush him out there or anything like that, but it would be seemingly a help. Yeah. And I could like that. Yeah.
Okay. So he was active. I'm going to have to look at the snap counts on Monday just to see.
I don't think he got in.
If he did, it was probably on a running play and barely noticeable. I bet they gave him some. Maybe they give him some special team snaps too. We'll have to see.
I don't know. Hey, is there anybody more annoying than 10 for the Raiders right now? That what is his name, Rollins or whatever, who caught the touchdown on the flea flicker? It was a guy I've never seen or heard from. He's a special teams player. I think he got his first start last week.
Oh, Hollins?
And
yeah.
He scores on a trick play where all he had to do, like, it was be me out there, which is like,
that's right. He went out and he blocked the safety, Ryan Neal, a little bit, and then just ran into the open field. And all the attention was paid to Davante Adams deep on that play. Oh, Trey Brown was the guy who could have recovered the fumble in the moment at the end of the game. He's number 22.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So,
but
he had an opportunity.
The fist pumping as he goes into the end zone, the screaming at everybody who can be within earshot that he did, and the prancing around. It's like, good Lord, buddy, pretend like you've been here before. I know you have a C on your chest. Must be for special team stuff.
Must be.
But you're a nobody, buddy, and nobody cares. You made one of the easiest plays in football this season. Congratulations.
Jeremy Green says, any news on Neal's injury? It sounds like Neal has an elbow injury, but yeah, Amy's saying no other info apart from the elbow.
Okay. And Josh Jones was kind of MIA in some of the three safety looks again this week. Just was there, but like not there. Just would fall down.
Yeah.
As Jacobs blows by again and again.
Mm-hmm.
The pass rush, man. Like, where was that?
Oh, like, are we going to talk about it? Because I don't usually talk about things that I don't even see or exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to go back and look at this and see if on any of the pass plays they were running any stunts whatsoever. Because it just didn't look like it. Looked like they were just rushing a base four set. And yeah, they just get locked up every time. And Carr's staying back there forever.
He had all the time.
Even Mike White will look good when you give him that kind of time.
Yeah. Oh, Matthew pointing out. Yeah. One of my favorite plays from the game was the throw to DK down the sideline, the safety coming in, thinking that he's going to blow up DK. And instead, DK just dump trucks him and ends up going out of bounds. But that was a fun play.
DK had a couple man's catches in this game where he caught the ball and then just turned and pushed forward. You know, and that's one of the things that I noticed about Jacobs in this game and was a stark contrast to Walker. Every time Jacobs gets hit, it's always at least a 3-yard gain. Mm-hmm. Always, because he falls forward 3 to 4 yards every play.
Well, Walker, they were getting really a push on the offensive line. Jacobs wasn't having to make guys miss in the backfield. They got no pressure up the interior.
Right. I know Walker could have used some help, especially in the interior offensive line play, for sure. There was also another 3, 4, 5 plays out on the field that he just left there. There was a second down run where across midfield, he pops through a hole on the right-hand side of the line. There's a linebacker right there, and the linebacker is kind of shaded to his outside. And if he just sticks his foot in the ground and goes forward, it's a 7-8 yard gain. Instead, he tries to make a huge jump cut around that guy, gets tackled, and it's a 2-yard gain.
Right.
Like that's just one of those examples that the way that Walker runs and compared to the way Jacobs runs and how those things can be cumulative over the course of a game. Like, he's got to figure that out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I feel like we're down on, I don't know, number 7 or 8 for reasons why they potentially lost this game. But Walker could have been better, too. I mean, Geno could have been better.
He did have the 2 great touchdown runs, though. I mean,
yeah, those are both
to come on and talk all negative, right? But you know, the one that he scored on, the second one,
yeah.
Again, put your head down, just go forward, and that's what he did. And then when he started to get stacked up, then as your buddies come along, and all of a sudden it's a touchdown.
It was pretty incredible balance, just the way that he kept his feet moving as that pile was pushing. That was a fun second touchdown run by Walker. Finishes the day, 14 carries, 26 yards. Of course, he probably would have had about 40 yards if he doesn't get turned around and spun around by Billings and ended up having to take a 12-yard loss. But gosh, where were the tight ends? Fant, 3 catches, 34 yards. Disley, 2 catches, 17. Feel like
they had a big drop.
Yeah. They had their opportunities all over the place with this game. And the one positive thing, again, that I could take away is that Davante Adams didn't have any touchdowns, which is averaging one per game coming into this game against Seattle.
He still picked up a bunch of key plays.
Oh, yeah. Key third downs. Yeah. But no huge plays.
No. So I did a hit with one of the AFC West podcasts, and they were asking for three things. And my first thing was cover Davante Adams. Just given our history.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sojin saying Walker would do better if our O-line made things called holes.
Yeah.
It would help.
It's true. It's true. He misses a few too, but again, I do think that it will come for him. A little like Penny, only better. So we'll see, but they definitely need to get a lot more production out of the run game consistently than they have really since kind of Walker took over. When Adam Archuleta can notice something, then you know it's an obvious truth that it is a boom and bust running game.
And maybe they need to give Homer some more opportunities for runs.
You watch your mouth. I'd rather see DJ Dallas.
As far as running the football, yeah. I mean, we did see the nice touchdown catch and run after the catch by Travis Homer.
So, yeah, for sure. Gino had that beautiful dime to lock it, too, for the touchdown.
Yeah.
They seem to score.
They put up enough points to win. I have a hard time being too disappointed in the offense when they score 34 points.
Exactly. Yeah. They did their job really for the most part, but wasn't enough. And it just goes to put a point on what this offseason needs to look like.
Yes. Interior offensive line, interior defensive line, stack up there, linebackers, shoot, safety, depth. They could probably use more of that.
Yeah, I was wondering on the flagship show if it was time to have a Diggs conversation.
Another guy coming off injury who probably...
I don't know that he's ever going to be the same. And I think
he might not be.
I think some of those big cushions come from the fact that the coaching staff isn't really confident in that kind of eraser ability on the back end of Diggs if he's in single high. Or, you know, even if it's two-man and, you know... Adams is to his side of the field, let's say. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of bad tackles, a lot of bad angles, and he just doesn't run like he used to.
And so how about a conversation on Geno Smith here? Barry, a.k.a. Van T.
What up, Barry?
Geno has 27 completions on 37 attempts, 328 yards, two touchdowns. He has the one interception. Geno's play is going down again. The only big play was that to Tyler. The other was all by play design. The consistency wasn't there. Can't put the max plays on him. I think that Geno could probably get rid of it a little bit quicker on some of these third downs. Third down sacks are kind of an issue with...
Second down sacks are more the issue. That's where on third down, you got to try to make a play. If you make it, you do. If you don't, then it's a punt one way or the other. Usually doesn't hurt you too terribly bad. Like that doesn't necessarily kill the drive. I mean, it may already be dead because they're in a good defense or you're in third and forever, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But second down sacks, man, those are killers. And Geno's taken a few of those this season and a couple in this game and just trying to do a little too much. I mean, if 1-2 isn't there in a quick sidestep one way or the other and 3 isn't there, then get the ball out of there. Just get rid of it.
And that's kind of what got him to this point in the season and why we had so much success. But again, hard to nitpick offense when you're scoring 34 points. And I suppose that was helped by two defensive takeaways by the guy we were just dumping on, Quandre Diggs.
This is why I was like, is it time to have the conversation? Because he did have the two big picks, but I didn't get to see the first one live. So I'm looking forward to going back and doing that. But I'm just talking overall in the last... you know, a handful of games and just him being in run support and things like that. You're like, oh, there's a whiff, or, oh man, he just went with his shoulder again. Or he had one on Jacobs that I think would have stopped him on a third down that he'd already been slowed down by somebody. I think it was Nwosu.
Yeah, it was Nwosu. And he came in and got his arm kind of on his thigh, but yeah.
It was more shoulder tackle than anything. He dipped his head the whole nine, everything you're not supposed to do. It doesn't look good. Now, I wouldn't mind them looking a little bit at safety this offseason, although I'd like to give Jamal a lot of run next year if his body can do it.
That would be tough to count on necessarily. Just based on what we've seen from Jamal so far. Morgan yeah. Barclay saying it's so nice to see Geno throw the ball to players over the middle. Unlike Russell, Geno looks tall and strong in the pocket most of the time. I am impressed still with Geno's pocket presence and knowing when to run. He had a couple times in the game where he ran the ball effectively when the play broke down, and he almost had more rushing yards than Walker did on five carries with 22 yards for Geno.
No, I don't think that you look at this and think that Geno's the primary reason for the loss at all. But it does kind of emphasize that, you know, he's more Alex Smith plus than he is, you know, Russ at his best, right? Sure. Although, if Russ had played this game and played like that, what would we be saying? Man, Russ put this whole team on his back and they couldn't do anything. And, right. you know, the defense let him down, the run game let him down. And, you know, if they could just help Russ a little bit, like, he'd have so much more. So it's interesting how your perspective of the guy shapes the conversation
right
after the fact, too.
Yeah. If you give Geno help up the middle and, you know, with some more development of the rookie tackles,
if he just had a little time and he wasn't running for his life.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we know the notes to that song, right?
If they had a running game. Yeah.
Yeah. An uneven performance coming off of a bye against a team that's not very good. That should be one you put in the W column. They had every opportunity to do it. They didn't do it. Again, I mean, we're still playing with house money. So
it's hard got to get a, got a couple that, opponents coming up against the Rams without Matthew Stafford. Allen Robinson, who wasn't good anyway, is now sidelined for the rest of the season with a foot injury.
Yeah.
So
no Cooper Kupp, no this, no that. Jalen Ramsey's quit.
right. You do have Aaron Donald to contend with. This is like, you know, how do you defend if you're going to stop one guy? Like, can our interior offensive line stop Aaron Donald? Maybe.
I mean, if he's the only guy you got to scheme for, but then again, the only guy you really have to scheme for is Max Crosby, and we still struggled with him. Watching Lucas struggle in the strength department was surprising because that seems to be the plus side of his game. But then again, where he's at in the recovery from what illness he had,
right?
It that plays a factor because, like, last 2 days, I did not feel great at all, or the 3 days, whatever it was. And
he was a late addition to the injury report with an illness, and that could have fatigue could have been playing a big role toward the end of that game for him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a day out, I feel pretty good. Like, I tried to lift up something heavy, and I was like, oh, okay, there it is,
right? Yeah, you're coming off illness yourself. Sideline with illness this week.
I have a little sympathy for Twitterless Abe there, but his ugliest game in terms of big plays that are noticeable.
Washington Fish Quest and with the $2 super chat, Travis Homer Hive, give that man some carries. We got a Homer.
I love Washington Fish Quest. They have had my back in many video comment sections throughout the year, usually dead on things. I'm not as big of a Homer fan as maybe some aren't, but
Jacob Haas coming in with the positivity. We're going to find a way to blow one of the Rams games.
Feels right, doesn't it?
I mean, it's easy to feel that way just based on past history, but
yeah,
I also feel like we're in a good position against these Rams teams to have some success down the stretch.
I mean, you should have had success against this team.
Yeah,
very much so. But
nope, they fall in overtime 40-34. And we're going to be back later this week with 3 in, 3 out talking about this game. And Adam, obviously up and well enough to do post game. So hopefully we're all well enough and back for a show coming up later this week.
I figured a show this week of me just doubled over and kind of groaning like a little baby, probably.
I don't know. We might try
maybe
that.
People will be entertained by that.
Yeah, you just never know.
And I think with that, he wasn't entertained. Oh, there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.